We've been doing a series this year. The staff did it at first, and then I kind of picked it up. Just some different thoughts about different things in our church. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about stewardship, some things that would help us in the area of stewardship. Our money and our finances, and particularly how we handle them, are more important than a majority of people would realize. One of the leading causes of divorce is one of the big four, is financial strain and dealing with finances and issues with that. A lot of people have stress because they've made bad financial decisions. Debt brings bondage and pressure that bleeds over into really all the areas of our life. And then the bad money decisions that we make cause us to be bad stewards of the money that God has entrusted to us. And I know that's not what we want to do. And so it's very important that we understand money and the problems that it can bring if we don't handle it right, particularly in our relationships as well as for our own personal well-being. A lot of the financial stress that people face are because they have made bad decisions. Really, that's just the whole crux of it. We've made bad financial decisions, and it's come back to haunt us, and we begin to struggle in these areas in our life. Many Christians, sadly say, are in such financial bondage that they can't even be generous, even if they wanted to be, because that money is really promised to somebody else. Now, that's never the case for tithing, because the tithe is something that God commands us to give. But we're so bad that with our money, and look, sometimes we all struggle. You know, you might be going through a tough time. I'm talking about we struggle because we put ourselves into certain debt or so forth, and it causes us trouble. Now, just I want to read a few verses here about Moses before we get into the points I want to talk about tonight. But Moses, and we could look at the choices he made that led him in a proper direction in his life, and really it was because he valued the eternal over the temporal. Okay, that's something all of us just need to kind of get nailed down. The eternal must be far more important to us than the temporal. Because if it isn't, then most of our choices are going to be geared towards the temporal aspect of life as opposed to looking at things through the eternal aspect of life. The verses there on your sheet, we did pass those out. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So there's four characteristics here that Moses displayed in making the right choice. The first one was in denial. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that which would have been really in a temporal setting better for him than to not accept that. Choice wasn't made on personal grounds or satisfactions. He denied that. And then by comparison, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with God's people. He compared what he could have chose, which on this earth would have been better, to what he should choose and what would bear better fruit eternally. And so he made the right choice. And then valuing, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. That's not an easy decision to make. That's a spiritual decision. To take something that is, in this world sense, worse for us, he valued that which was truly important. And then rejection. By faith, he forsook Egypt. And sometimes we need to just reject the things of this world, particularly when it comes to financial strait. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 14. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone away, then he boasteth. What he's saying is, here's someone trying to buy something from somebody. He says, it's nothing, it's worthless, and I'll give you this for it. He goes away, and he knows it was valued better. And he's like, aha, I got a good deal here. No, he ripped somebody off. He was unethical in his business decision. He fooled somebody. Now, a lot of our issues when it comes to our finances are in choices we make and how we get caught up, and whether our emotions are, or someone gives us a sales pitch, or we give ourselves a sales pitch and we spend money we don't have, or we put ourselves in a situation we really shouldn't have put ourselves in. We need to develop what is called sales resistance. Most people are very impulsive with their finances, okay? By the way, that you know, they, if you ever go to the grocery store, they put certain things at the cash register, right? Have you ever noticed they don't put broccoli at the cash register? They put soda and Snicker bars, okay? And my favorite newspaper, the National Enquirer, right there. So you get a soda, you can get a Snicker and a newspaper, and you're good to go. Okay, I don't read that. I'm kidding. But they put that stuff there because most people are like impulse. Like, they didn't plan on buying that, but, oh, I'm out of soda. Oh, look at that Snickers. That looks good. That soda looks good. I know. And they just got money that you shouldn't have spent. Sales resistance. What is that? Being content with food and clothing, using and caring for the possessions that we have, and keeping our focus on the purpose for which God made us. We must be content with what we have, care and be thankful for what we have, because our focus is on the purpose for which God made us. Now, on the flip side, we need to have sales resistant, and we need to be careful for alluring advertising or playing to our desires. What is alluring advertising? Carefully planned appeals to our human weakness designed to make us discontent with what we have so that we can rationalize, that's the key word, our decision about things that we know we do not need, should not have, or cannot really afford. Okay? That's just what it is. That's what advertising does, by the way. They make you think that it's something you just, you have to have, whether you can have it or not. Years ago in our high school, I taught economics. Economics, the basics of economics are that you have limited resources, but you have unlimited wants. And really, economics is balancing those two together and making the right decisions. Most people make the decisions with their limited resources based on their wants, and their resources don't go to where they should go. They go to places they shouldn't go, or they are wasted completely. And so we must be careful for that, because it is this that causes us to make bad decisions. Now, I want us to see, and we're going to use an unusual stretch of verses for this, some tactics that pressure us into bad financial decisions. We can see that by looking at a study of how Satan got Eve to settle for something that was not best for her, something that she really didn't need, and something that caused a great deal of trouble from her day until this day. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. We know the story well. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat freely of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, he took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And there the problems were started. Satan was the ultimate, really, if you think about it, salesman. He sold her a bill of goods, because of the tactics that he used. And these are some of the tactics that are pressure points that cause us to make bad financial decisions. Now, if you look on your list, you'll see there's 12 of them, and it's already about 20 till. I'm going to go fast. These are not long points. But there are things I want us to get, because we make bad financial decisions, and when we do, we become bad stewards. Being a steward isn't just giving your tithe. Okay, I hope you understand that. Being a steward is understanding we're entrusted with everything that God gives us, and we are to manage it and use it properly for God's purposes. And if we're not, messing up in our finances, we are not able to do that. And so let's look at things. They're all one word and then a little phrase that kind of explains it. The first word is, the first financial pressure point is appealing. Appeal. They use beautiful and successful appearing models and products. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now this is before he was cursed, so he must have been very subtle and charming. He's not someone that when he showed up that you would have thought right off the bat, this is someone to watch out for. This is someone you can't trust. I mean, some people, you see him and it's like, I can't trust this guy, right? It's not real hard to tell. But usually the people you shouldn't trust are the people that look like people that you can trust. And that, look, they, whenever they sell something, they don't use somebody that looks like they got ran over by a pickup truck 5 times. Okay, someone that looks perfect and the product looks perfect and everything looks like this is exactly what you need. The better something looks to us, the more we feel an impulse to have it. You know, you look, have you ever been to a restaurant and they may have a menu and it shows the food? How come it doesn't look like that when my plate shows up? Have you ever noticed that? Because that food was meticulously put together and there's a photographer there and everything's important and the guy in the back's in a hurry and he's just slabbing it on there. By the way, I really don't care what it looks like. I'm more into how does it taste. Okay, it could look like garbage, but if it tastes like heaven, I'm in. But that's what they do. By the way, one of the things when that Apple has done, it was one of their core things, they want everything they do to look nice and free. Even the box it's packaged in, right? If you've ever had an old Apple product and you're going to sell it, if you keep the box and leave it in there, you get more money for it. They're all into the aesthetics, okay? And I'm not saying something should look, but they understand that if something looks better, people just tend to want it more. And that's what happens. It appeals to us and we buy into it. That's what Satan did. Because when something appeals to us, we feel like we have to have that, whether we can afford it or not. Number two, conflict. Conflict. They appeal directly to one in the family in order to put pressure on the other. And I'm not getting on women tonight. It just so happens that's who he dealt with, all right? I'm not being whatever you want to call me. And he said unto the what? Woman. Now, for some reason, he picked on her. Probably because Adam, and I'm not saying men are better than women, but we are. Kidding. Who said amen? Wow, you're a feminist and you're a guy. But he knew in this case that if I get to Eve, I can get to her husband. Because Eve got deceived into what she did. Adam walked in with his eyes wide open. Why did he walk in with his eyes? There was only two of them, all right? And she bit into it, so it's like, well, you know, I guess I just have to also. People do that. Look, when it comes to finances, one of the spouses sometimes will pressure the other into a bad decision. That is always a very bad thing. One person makes a bad purchase, both of them pay for it. That's why husband and wives must always be together on finances and purchases. Okay? You know, sometimes men are like, well, I'm the man of the house. I'm going to make that decision. Have you thought it through? Okay? There's nothing wrong with asking your wife about it. Now, I'll just be honest with you. When it comes to our finances, I can do whatever I want. Right? Okay? Because it just so happens, we went back and forth, but now for the last 10 years, I run the finances, so I know what we have. And to be honest with you, if I wanted to buy something, I could just go do it. But I would never do it. Now if I'm buying a Twinkie, I can do it. Okay? But I would never make a purchase of any of substance without asking my wife. I think that's just appropriate.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, you know, we're together on this thing.
And
so I'm not going to play. You know, look, if one comes up, we need this, and expensive. Like, man, we can't afford it. We really can't. Oh, come on. Don't you love me? Don't ask that. He might give you the real answer. But, sweetheart, don't you want me to be happy? Okay? Now, sometimes you can play. My wife, now, she's a lot nicer. I can play her the other ways. If I need some, we can't. No, honey, go get it. Remember years ago when we first started working at church, our finances were real tight, and this was in the early days of computers, and we got a nice tax refund. And so I wanted, there's two things I wanted. I wanted a digital camera because I was doing the tracks for the church and I wanted to take pictures. And I also wanted a PDA. Now, I wanted both. And so I'm like, honey, we really should only buy one of those. She goes, okay, yeah, yeah. I'm like, can you go shopping with me and help me decide? Because I really can't decide. And she probably didn't even know the difference between the two, okay? And I went there and I got the little handheld computer. Look at this, honey. Isn't it look, hold this. Okay, thank you. All right, now let's look at the cameras. Now I'm like, honey, which one do you think I should get? Now I knew what she was going to say. She's like, you deserve both. Buy both. No, no, we can't do that. No, I think, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. If that's what you want us to do. Okay. But we use pressure. We pressure each other on things that we can't afford. Oh, come on, we have to have. And it's just a bad thing. That's how you get in trouble. Don't ever go behind each other's backs. And by the way, I'll throw this out. If you're married, you ought to have the same bank account. Yep. Okay? You're lucky. You're not business partners. Yep. And so work together. Don't impress the other. No. And by the way, don't be deceitful with finances. Well, I did that and I tried to hide it. You're asking for trouble. Don't do that. Number three, questioning. Questioning. They create doubts about established rules, principles, and common sense guidelines. What did Satan say? Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What's he trying to do? He's trying to put her some doubt in her mind about very specifically what God said. And sometimes we get so caught up in something, particularly with our finances, we'll totally bypass guidelines and principles that are sound business and financial principles that we know we shouldn't violate, but we do it anyhow. Because it's been questioned in our mind. By the way, rebellion sells, right? Everybody wants this makes you different. This makes you better. You're not like everybody else. That's why everybody's buying it. Okay? That's just how society works. Questioning. Number four, deceit. They pressure you to reject warnings. Here comes Satan. Now he's questioning. She's all confused, and he says, you will not surely die. That's a lie. They died spiritually the day that they sinned, just like God said that they would. God had already warned them of punishment if they disobeyed. What happens is we start to believe that consequences are things that only happen to other people. Oh, we've heard about other people, you know, and I don't think you should file for bankruptcy or any of that, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, you thought that's things that other people do. You know, other people have marriage troubles because of finances. That's not us. And we bypass those warnings. Everybody thinks they're the exception to the rule. Everybody does. All the smokers, none of them believe that they're the ones that are going to get lung cancer. Because after all, they're different. And we're not different. If you violate those principles, if you reject warnings financially, so you are going to pay the price. If you violate a financial truth of Scripture, you will pay the price. I can tell you stories of people. Look, the Bible tells you don't co-sign. And I know people that have done it. That's my OG, or that's my, you know, I don't know what you want to call him. That's not my mijo, that's your son. That's my compadre, or that's my guy. I mean, we're BFFs, best friends financially, okay? And then what happens, you sign for co-signing, and guess what happens? You're the one that's paying. And it's like, huh, how'd that happen? That was my buddy. I know the Bible says don't co-sign. We'll go into business together. Partnership, bad idea, unless you want to hate each other. Okay, really bad idea. No. But we're different. You're not different. And you reject those warnings and you create chaos for yourself. Number five, discontent. Discontent. They create dissatisfaction in your spirit. What did Satan tell her? For God doth know that the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened. What she's saying is God's holding out on you. Don't you understand that if you do your own thing, there's something better than what you have right now? You're missing out on life. Your life is not complete because you don't have this. God is keeping you in the dark. That happens. By the way, why do we make really bad decisions? Because we are discontented in our spirits. We give in to bad financial decisions so easily because we want it so bad that it's easy to be talked into it. That's just it. It's our flesh. And we start to rationalize. But it has nothing to do with that. It's because we're discontent. We feel we absolutely have to have it. And if I don't have it, I am missing out. That's why we pull out that credit card that charges you over 20% interest. You know, you ought to look at the fine print. You ought to look at the fine print. Well, I'm making the minimum payment. Listen, you better hope Jesus comes. Because if you're making the minimum payment and you were to make it through the tribulation, if you listen to those idiots on the internet, and you were to make it through the tribulation, you'll still be paying for that in the millennium. In fact, it'll probably take you to the millennium to get it paid off. Okay? And you only charge $400. It's not designed to be good for you. Okay? They're not benevolent. But it's because we're discontent. You think you can break your budget. Number 6, independence. They prompt you by promoting an independent spirit. Verse 5, ye shall be as gods. You're the decision maker. You're in charge. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. You know what? That's not your wife's decision. That's your decision. You're the man. You make that financial decision. Or the wife starts thinking, hey, I'm helping with the family. I can do what I want. And then you get in trouble. Independent spirit. There's no authority. When we have no authority, that means we're not under any rules. And that's what Satan was saying. Listen, if you eat the fruit, you'll be a god. You'll decide what's right and wrong in your life. God's not the authority. There is no authority. You are the authority. And so you make these decisions because it seemed good to you, not because it was wise financially. Number 7, humanism. Humanism. They get you to depend on human reasoning. You will be gods knowing good and evil. That means deciding. You're the decision maker. Okay? You know what the problem is when we're decision makers? We do not have infinite wisdom. Fact of the matter, most of us don't have a whole lot of wisdom. That's why we have to take God's wisdom. Because human wisdom, it sounds good, but it doesn't work. We got to line up what we think and what we feel and what we believe on God's word, not on what we think. You know, someone comes in, inevitably, I made this bad decision. It's like, what was going on? You know, I just thought that's the problem. Okay? Sometimes we need some help and we need God's wisdom. Let's not just take the thing. We get tricked into a money scam. Right? Because it sounds like a good idea. Number 8, perception. Perception. They get you to override caution by the promise of meeting a basic need. Now after she's all confused with all this stuff, Satan's lied to her, she's totally, you know, spinning. In verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. After all, she could look at it and say, now wait, God said don't eat that, but, you know, food is a good thing. Food is a necessity. Food is something we have to have. I mean, after all, you know, what's wrong with that? I have to have it. Now, that's true. There are some things we get that we have to have. Like this, for instance, all of us need to eat. But that doesn't mean we need to go to Morton's Steakhouse every night. I think they charge you a cover charge just to get in. A couple years ago, someone gave us a gift card to Fleming's. And so my wife and I, we knew it was a high-end restaurant, and we went there, and I knew we were in the right place because I parked my car there, and there was like a Maserati, a bunch of Teslas, and all these high-range cars, and we pulled in there, like, okay, this place. And everything was like, you know, you got the steak, and that was it, okay? And when I saw the price, I'm like, yeah, that is it. And then the macaroni and the rice was good. But everything, it was like, it was expensive. The gift, it was a good-sized gift card. And we still we're pumping out money out of our pocket. Now, by the way, it was fine. It was a date night and all that, but I ain't going there for lunch. I'm not going there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because when you have to put a loan application into a restaurant, you probably don't want to go. That's your anniversary, all right? And pray, or run out really fast before you pay. This is something I need, but do you really need it? There are a difference between needs and wants, and we get that confused sometimes. Number 9, desire. They can make it appealing to the lust of the eye. And they saw that it was pleasant to the eye. Boy, she started seeing the thing, you know. And wow. But you go to look at, buy a car, you know what they're going to try to do? They're going to put you in the high-end vehicle. You know, I'm just looking for a little, you know, used car here. Well, you should just go for a drive in this car. And it's out of your budget. Now, they don't tell you that because most people drive it like, wow. This is really good. And then they come back and it's like, well, that's out of our budget. Yeah, but it drives well, right? One time we were looking to buy a car and the guy gave me the price. He's like, no, I ain't gonna afford that. He goes, oh, in a couple of years, you'll be able to kick it up. Because after all, you're gonna get raises, I'm pretty sure, right? I'm like, look, I didn't come here for financial counsel. Okay, I got a budget, buddy, and that's what we're sticking to. But once they know desire kicks in, and then common sense flies out of the window. Number 10, satisfaction. I don't think so. Sit up straight, hands on your lap, no talking. Okay, good. They offer fulfillment apart from God. They offer fulfillment apart. She said it was a tree good for food, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now, it wasn't wise in like following God. It was wise in her own conceit, really. Okay? You know, I don't need God. I have my own wisdom. Do you know fulfillment only comes from God? Right. And whenever we think fulfillment comes from anything from God, we are setting ourselves up for a fall. We are setting ourselves up, to be honest with you, to be disappointed. Things don't bring fulfillment. That comes from God. Yeah. But most of us think, if I had this, and I had this, and I had this, my life would be fulfilled. By the way, that's discontent. Contentment is, I'm fulfilled with whatever I have today, and if God gives me something better, I'd still be fulfilled. Yeah. Because my fulfillment isn't what God gives me, my fulfillment is in God completely. And so that's very important. Satisfaction. You're trying to use something for that which it was never designed to be used for. I used to work for my dad, and, you know, we would rebuild alternators, generators, and starters, and I would get all these old ones, I'd rip them all apart, get all the good parts out of them, clean them all up, replace the bad parts, and build them all so he could sell them. Now, some of those were rusted, and I'd grab a hammer, and let me grab that screwdriver and start prying it. My dad would come in, that's not what that tool's used for. That tool's a screwdriver, it's not a chisel. Okay, find the chisel. And you use a tool for what it was designed to be used for. And I'd say, yes, sir, until he left. And I said, man, that screwdriver's working pretty good, though, okay? Stuff was not meant to fulfill us. Number 11, entrapment. They get you with misleading phrases, which really are nothing more than worldly wisdom. Satan got her in three phrases, three thoughts, okay? And she bought it. Don't buy, you know, well, they made it sound like it was just so important and all, don't buy that. There's a reason some things are sold by salesmen only. You know, I'm a little bit of old fuddy-duddy here, but like when products are only sold by direct marketing salesmen and you can't buy it in a store, that makes me nervous. If it's such a good product, why don't they want to sell it? Because they know they got to pressure you to get you to get it. And it's overpriced. They get you. And then number 12, promises. They deny the decision's weakest point. He said, you won't die, you'll be as gods. Both of those were half-truths, but both of those were very bad decisions. Now, let me give you 3 minutes of a conclusion and we're done. What are some of the problems that come when we give into these financial, and by the way, a lot of these things also apply spiritually speaking when it comes to doing wrong. But what are the problems that are a result of making bad financial decisions? Number one is hurt. The lives of others are damaged. And she took the fruit and gave also unto her husband with her. She didn't just go down alone. She hurt others. And that, look, your bad financial decisions don't only hurt you, they hurt others, particularly your family, those that are closest to you. Number two, consequences. The loss is usually irrevocable. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Sin. By the way, that's because they sinned. That wasn't good. They couldn't change that. And by the way, it's a curse we live with from now on. You know, once you sign on the dotted line, you've signed on the dotted line. And all those things. Next, strife. Strife. There is blame and justification. You know, God shows up and like, all right, why are you guys hiding? What's going on? The man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the fruit. Because you know, God, the problem here, Lord, is, you know, this woman, oh, by the way, you gave her to me, right? I didn't have a whole lot of choice here. Blame. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. At least hers was spiritual, right? I mean, if you're going to blame somebody, don't blame God. I guess blame the devil's better. But really, the bottom line is, it's because that's what they wanted to do. And it causes, you know, I wonder, here's Adam standing next to, you know, Eve sitting next to her husband. Wonderful guy. How'd this happen? This woman here. I'm pretty sure that night he slept on his own leaf or whatever they slept, you know. He had his own cot in another village, right? Number four, stress. Stress. The difficulty of life increases. What happens? Women, get mad at her. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Of course, in childbirth. Her fault. Okay? Sorry about that. For the man, in the sweat of thy face, thou shalt eat bread. A lot harder to look. Look, the problem is this, and we're done. Let's be careful with our financial decisions. Let's not make them so haphazardly. We don't think things through, and we get this pressure. We're following the world. We're following everything we're seeing, and we make in a moment of time, we make a horrible financial decision, and we'll live with the consequences for time to come. And you don't want to do that. Let's pray.